Good afternoon, everyone. Fred said I had 45 minutes, but the brethren, when I speak in our little fellowship group, they'll say, slow down, slow down. So, anyway, Ray made a comment. He said it's amazing how that the music, the sermons, the sermonettes, all the messages, they go together. And what I found over the years in speaking to the brethren, if you get on your knees and you ask God to give you something to speak about that the brethren could use or would be edifying to them, and everyone is doing the same thing, including the song leader, then everything gels. I remember one time kind of reminiscing back when we were with Worldwide and I gave a sermonette. And Earl Romer was here at the time. And when he got up to announce the tape, and I hadn't heard the tape or anything, none of us had, he said, well, Lawrence Birchfield gave the introduction, so we'll just go with the message. And it just blended right in perfectly. But something that I've been thinking about a lot lately and has really come to mind is this past election and how the whole world is being deceived. And something else that I'll tell Fred, when I was speaking in United, when we were with that group and we were listening to his tapes, we would listen to half coming to services and half going home because that's the only meat we got. It would be amazing to me because I would be working, I was on the speaking schedule, and I would be working on a sermon, or a sermonette, or a split sermon, and the message that we got that week was on the same identical subject. And I think a lot of times when I'd go ahead and give it, the brethren would think that I was, what's the word, plagiarizing from Fred. But I would never do that. But I've been thinking a lot about how the world has been deceived, how we are being deceived, where it all started, how it all come about. And, of course, Fred, it's been about 4 weeks ago, you gave a sermon on don't become deceived. And I thought, well, that's very strange because that's what I've been thinking about for quite some time. Turn over to Jude, if you would. Turn over to Jude. I'd like to start here. I'm using my old Bible, so I won't be giving you a page number. Jude 1, it said, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, and those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. So we see here all the apostles always have a salutation from God, recognizing God as the supreme being of all. And that's Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we have to acknowledge God. A little side note, Fred probably watches the O'Reilly Factor on Fox, but when, who was it died? It was Johnny Carson's. Ed McMahon. The guy had the one guy that he was interviewing had the audacity to stand up and say, I don't know who sits at the right hand of God the Father, but he needs to move over because he's got Ed McMahon's seat. Now that is not good. But anyway, going on in verse 3, it said, Beloved, while I was very diligently to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to all the saints. For certain men have crept in unawares or unnoticed or stealthily, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness, darkness and deny the only Lord and God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happens when people sneak into the church and start causing the things that we went through in our former association. And he goes on to say, but I want to remind you, though you once knew these things, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. And so we don't want to be like that, brethren. We want to believe. Several years ago, I was preparing a sermonette, and I was giving it on the topic of what do you have to do to be saved. And so I thought, well, I will call five churches, worldly churches, and I will see what they have to say. And so I called one and got a hold of a secretary of the minister. And I said, what I'm doing is a sort of a comparative religious study, and I'd like to know what your church teaches that you have to be saved, what you have to do to be saved. Now, what do you think they said? Just believe. All you have to do is believe. I said, thank you very much. I called another one. Basically, the same answer. Just believe. Accept Jesus Christ into your heart. Let Him come into your heart. And on it went. And they were all about the same thing. Just believe or accept Christ into your heart. There was nothing about repentance, nothing about baptism. So the last call I made was to a Baptist church. And so I asked them, I said, what must you do to be saved? And he said, well, just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And I said, well, what about baptism? Well, we think that once you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and you're already saved, but someplace down the road, you're going to want to be baptized. And I said, well, what about Acts 2:38, where Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, that was the end of conversation. So that's the way that Satan has deceived the whole world. I was listening to a program on NBR, National Religious Broadcasting Station. This was about the time several years ago when the Da Vinci Code came out. And there's a worldly minister. I'm sure he has good intentions and everything. But they were debunking the Da Vinci Code and also the Passion of Christ. And one statement that has stuck with me all this time, this was 2 or 3, 4 years ago, he said that the modern generation, the young people, and the world in general have absolutely no understanding of church history, of world history, and anything that we see on television, anything that we read in the newspaper, or anything we hear on the radio, or anything that we hear somebody stand up in a pulpit and say, we believe. And that's sad. Now, you and I, brethren, don't believe that way. We know what the truth is. Look at the last election, like I said. Now, 18 months as a junior senator, and who's pulling the strings? You know, we don't know who's pulling the strings. Has no experience whatsoever. I probably got more experience in running a country than he has. You know, because I would do it God's way. You know, the first thing we need is repentance. And we need people to accept Christ and follow His law and His commandments. Like I was telling Fred last night, we had a legislator over here, a lady over here in Oklahoma City, you may have saw it on the news, where she put out a proclamation and asked everyone to sign it. And she said, you know, here's the problems. Homosexuality, lesbianism, the gay rights movement, and abortion, and pornography. That's what's the matter with our country today. And of course, Fred has said many times, You know, you can't take care of physical problems unless you apply the spiritual to it. You know, so anyway, back to being deceived. Now, the world became deceived. Let's turn over to Isaiah 14. As Fred likes to say, we've been here many, many times, and we're going to go here many, many more times according to the number of years that God gives us, because every time we go here, we see something else. But we see the fall of a anointed cherub, who at that time was called Lucifer, who in fact deceived himself. It's ridiculous. You know, God created him. He was beautiful and everything. And then he deceived not only the angels that were with him, but he deceived himself. And so in Isaiah 14 and verse 12, it says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the sides of the far north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God, or I will be the Most High God." So he deceived himself, and he deceived the angels that were with him to go up there. We also see a parallel account of that in Ezekiel 28. Turn over there if you would, please. These are very familiar scriptures. Nothing new here for most of us. In Ezekiel 28, and we'll begin in verse 14. It's sort of God is giving a message here to Ezekiel, and he kind of breaks in the middle, and he kind of changes the subject a little bit. And he said, "You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones." So then, if we'll jump on over into Revelation 12, we see a battle that took place. And I personally believe, I'll ring Fred's cowbell here. I personally believed in my own heart, my own mind, that this is when the world of the first creation was totally destroyed. Revelation 12, and let's begin in about verse 7. And it said, "War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives or is deceiving the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." It's kind of ongoing. And so we see then that there was a war there, and that Satan was cast out, and everything was destroyed. And like I say, I believe, because when we go over to Genesis 1 and read there, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And it says, "The earth became without form and void," or tohu and bohu. And when you go over into the Psalms that David was inspired to write, he said, "O Eternal, you have renewed the face of the earth." So it had to have been created at one time, and destroyed in order to be renewed again. So once Satan was cast back to earth, what did he do? Well, you know what he did. Go over to Genesis. Marlon came one time a couple of years ago, and I gave a split sermon without any notes, and he said, "Where's your notes? I didn't see no notes." So Marlon, I got notes this time. Genesis 3, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Well, God didn't tell them that they couldn't touch it. He just said, "Don't eat." She added a little bit to that. That's sort of like people today. They add a little bit to God's word or take a little bit away. "And the serpent said to the woman, 'You're not going to die. You won't surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. And you will be like God. You will be on the same plane with your Creator, knowing good and evil.'" And it would seem to indicate that at that time they only knew good. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. And she also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate." Now there, right there, is a fall down of the husband. The husband should have said, "Now wait a minute, Eve. God said we're not to eat that tree. Get away from it. Don't listen to that serpent." But he didn't do that. And so, consequences is that, as Paul said, sin entered into the world. The serpent also, or the Satan anyway at this time, also deceived King David. You remember, he inspired King David to number Israel. And David looked to his own strength. He took his eyes off God. And his general that he told to go number, he said, "Don't do this, my Lord. Don't do this." He said, "No, go number Israel." And so it displeased God. And so God gave him three choices. He said, "Because you've did this thing, I'm going to give you three choices." And so he gave him three choices. And I like to think that David took the quickest and the easiest way out, although 70,000 people died. But it only lasted for 3 days, see, instead of 7 years of famine and all these other things. Although a lot of people died because of his sin. So Satan was able to get to David. And of course, Satan also got to Saul and deceived him. Jesus gives us a warning. You see, as I was telling one of the brethren when we were on the break, this book that we have in our lap, on the desk, wherever we have it, wherever we keep it, however we use it, this is God's instruction manual for mankind. It tells us everything that we need to know for salvation. It tells us how to get along with each other. It tells us how we're supposed to treat one another. It tells us how we're supposed to treat our neighbor. It teaches us how to be healed if we need to be healed. Now, I'm not against going to doctors. They have their place. Luke was called the beloved physician, you know. But each one of them has their place. But the first place when you get sick, brethren, no matter what, is call the elders of the church and ask to be prayed for and ask to be anointed. That is the first step on your road to healing. And the next step is to ask God to show you what you're doing wrong in your life and the diet that you're living with or eating or whatever you're consuming that's causing you to get sick. And our foods today are just poisoned with all kinds of different things. But Jesus gives us a warning over in Matthew, and like I was telling one of the brethren, I'm getting off subject a little bit. Our son bought a real fancy horse trailer because they're into show horses. And it's a four-horse trailer with living quarters and everything. Shower, you know, you could wash the horses down in there if you wanted to, whatever. And he called me up and he said, "Dad," he said, "I can't get this awning to work." It had a roll-out awning. And I said, "Well, I would suggest that you get out your owner's manual that come with the trailer and read it." He said, "Well, I don't know. I'll play around with it a little bit." And I said, "Get out the owner's manual and see what it says. When all else fails, brethren, read the manual." So a couple of days later, he called me up and he said, "Dad, you busy?" I said, "No, not right now." He said, "How's everything going?" I said, "Oh, just fine." He said, "Got my awning working." I said, "How'd you do it?" He said, "I read the instruction manual." I said, "I just had to press one lever and it went right out." So that's what we have here. We have an instruction manual. And we have a problem. We go to God with it. We pray about it. We ask God, open our eyes to what we need to be doing in order to take care of the problem. But like I say, if you're sick, the first thing is to call the elders. Not because I've just been ordained, but that's what I've always done. And I think one of the biggest factors, and I think Fred would probably back me up on this, is when they came out with STP and all that other stuff, we got away from calling the elders and went to looking to physicians. You know, you're familiar with the STP. I know Harold is. I borrowed his and read it one time. Turn over to Matthew 24. Another warning. I think this is where Fred started when he said, "Don't be deceived." Matthew 24, and this began in verse 1. It said, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the temple buildings. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things?' He said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, not one of these stones shall be left here upon another that should not be thrown down.'" And if the Jews over there today would accept the fact that that Wailing Wall was part of Fort Antonio and not the original temple, they might get started on constructing a temple. And in verse 3, he says, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, a warning, 'Take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.'" And then he goes on to say, "And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Parallel account of that we find over in Mark 13. Mark 13. And each one of the writers, like I was telling my wife last night, I said, each individual, each minister, each teacher, whatever title you want to put on anyone that's teaching, preaching, or whatever, has a different style. We should not compare ourselves among ourselves. Some are better than others, you know. But each one of us, we try to speak from the heart. When I speak to you, brethren, I speak from the heart. And I get very emotional. And you know that because you've heard me speak and you've watched me cry. Mark 13 and verse 4. And they say, "Tell us then, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" And Jesus answered them, beginning to say, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many." And then he goes on to say, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet." And also, another parallel account we find over in Luke 21. And this is a I want to really stress this to you, brethren, on this particular part of the parallel account of Matthew 24 and also Mark 13. In Luke 21, let's begin in verse 8, and he said, take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he. The time has drawn near, therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be troubled, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. And let's drop on down to verse 34. This is the point I want to stress. But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all of those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. This is the point, brethren. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass and to be able to stand before the Son of Man. See, that's our prayer, that when we pray, we should always pray, Father, please count me worthy to escape all the trials and the tribulations and the problems that are coming up on the face of this earth. And brethren, we have not seen anything yet. It is going to get worse and worse and worse. They're already talking about a second stimulus package, another $800 billion that we don't have. As one commentator made a point the other day on television, he said the Federal Reserve has become a legal government-owned counterfeiting agent. Now that's something, but that's where we're at. Paul also gives us some warnings. I love Paul's writings because Paul became a very humble individual. When he was struck down, as was mentioned, on the road to Damascus, from that point on, he wrote some of the most beautiful, the most inspiring words that you and I can read in the Bible. I personally believe that. Turn over to Galatians 1 and in verse 6, and was brought out this morning, all the apostles, all down through history, all of God's servants, all the elders, the teachers, were always confronting people that were teaching lies and heresy. And Paul addresses the Galatians in this way in verse 6. He says, I marvel, I am amazed that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, he's putting himself in there, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And he goes on and says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So he pronounces a double curse on those who do not stand and preach the truth to God's people. In Romans 8, turn over there, please. I'm sorry, Romans 1. Paul writes here, and if you want to know how the world is today, all you have to do is turn to the book of Romans and start down about verse 18. And that's where we're going to start. For he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that because what may be known of God is manifested to them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their body among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed above. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the errors of their way, which was done. We have HIV, started in 1980. There's no cure for it because it keeps mutating. Every time they think they've got a handle on it, it goes a different direction. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. One of the biggest problems we have in the nation today is children not minding their parents. And in verse 32 he says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So Paul tells us, we can look in the newspaper, we can watch the news, we can anything we see, we can think about this right here. Paul telling us this, and when was this written? Hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Turn over to 2 Timothy 3. Paul here is talking to Timothy, and he's given a warning. In 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1, he said, but know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, ungodly, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Look at Miss California. You know, she answered a question. They asked her, what do you think is the description, you know, of a marriage? What's your belief on marriage? A man and a woman. And from that point on, the powers that be behind all that decided that we will get you one way or the other. Because she told the truth. You know, she's supposed to be a Christian woman, but I said to myself, I don't think one of God's women would be up there prating around like, you know, she's doing for a crown, as Paul says, that perishes. But anyway, when that didn't work, they went at it another way. And they got Playboy involved. And when she wouldn't do that, she wasn't fulfilling her obligation, and so they took her crown away from her. Look at Joe the plumber. Went out and asked a simple question. You mean to tell me if you're elected president that you're going to tax the rich, you're going to tax me and what I've worked hard for, and you're going to give it to those people that are unwilling to work and won't work. You know, they told us, they promised us everything. Very deceitful. Remember years ago, those of us that are own up in our 70s can remember the politicians, you know, a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage. And that's what they were promising people. You're going to get a stimulus package, $1,300, $1,500, you know, everything's going to be good, the economy's going to just take off, everything that we put money to is going to be shovel ready, and we've got, what, 4 million people out of work today, the unemployment rate's right at 10%, and that's only counting the ones that are drawing unemployment. Otherwise, it's right at 15%. So they promise us everything in the world in order to get the vote, and then they go to changing their mind and doing what they want to do. 2 Timothy 4. Turn over there just a page over. 2 Timothy 4 and verses 1 through 8. Paul again is telling Timothy, a young evangelist, he said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and with teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. I saw an interview recently. There's a big church down in Houston, Texas. 24,000 people. 4 services they have to have. And they do not preach the truth of God. And here we are, brethren, God's little flock, 81 today, God's truth before us. We all understand the same thing. We're all of like minds. We all believe the same thing. We all want the same thing. You know, we're looking forward to the kingdom of God, you know. And for those of us who have already got to our 70, which is not a promise, and 5 years into that, it's closer than when we first believed. I think is it Amazing Grace where the writer says, when we've been there 10,000 years, we'll still have no less time to sing God's praises than when we first believed. That's our hope, brethren. That's what we have to look forward to. And if you want to know, brethren, where we're at today in the world, all you've got to do is turn over to Deuteronomy 28 and begin reading. And the first 15 verses of Deuteronomy 28 are all blessings. If you believe me, if you keep my commandments, if you follow my law, my statutes, my judgment, this is what's going to happen. And you'll be the head, not the tail. You'll be the lender and not the borrower. 1980, we become the borrower. We owe so much money today that we could never pay it back. Everything that this nation owns in the way of state or federal parks, federal landmarks, all those things are collateral for our national debt. We can never pay it. You know, they said that little Rachel, you know, that she had to go home. Sarah wasn't feeling good. You know, she's 9 months old. She owes $30,000. Not even 9 months old. It is unreal, brethren. Let's finish up here. I think I've made my point. I was always taught when I went through spokesman club, graduate club, and leadership training, when you make your point, shut up and sit down. Well, I think I'm just going to quit there, because this Bible that I'm using is not like the one that I looked up the scripture in. So I think I will quit there. Fred, do you want to take over? Special music. Oh, break. That's right. See? I don't dare press one of them buttons. Everybody take a break. About 10 minutes.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.